In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you.
I'm not sure I understand.
And what we'd like to do, as always, is to start off our conversation with Mary. Invite Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we call out to Mary in the Hail Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and beg Mary to pray with us and to pray for us as we celebrate her wonderful feast day yesterday, the Annunciation. Let's continue with our great love, trust, and confidence in Mary's prayers as we pray together the prayer that she loves most, the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. What a great privilege it is to have as our spiritual director. And it's the Holy Spirit. Among the many titles we have for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. It's also known as the sweet guest of the soul. It's also known as the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. Consoler as well as our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier. In our pursuit of holiness, the Holy Spirit is indispensable for us to grow in holiness. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. St. Paul reminds us in his great letter to the Romans, chapter 8, that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's pray the Holy Spirit. This prayer, the classical prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. A world at prayer is a world at peace. And as always, I'll be praying for all of you today in the greatest of all prayers. I'll pray for all of you today in the greatest of all prayers, and that prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence. So I'll place all of you on the altar when I celebrate Mass today. And this will be my intention. I'll pray, first of all, that we'll all be open to the presence and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this could be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Our second intention will be to pray for our family and family members for the conversion, for the sanctification, and for the salvation of our family members, for the conversion, the sanctification, and the salvation of our family members. Our Lord says, what would it profit a man? What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And then I'd like to pray also for all those who will be dying sometime today. That they would die in the grace of God. And we should pray for them as well as for ourselves. And I mentioned this many times, the grace of all graces. The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. So I'll pray for I'll pray for with you for those who die sometime today, and pray for our own deaths, that we would die in this state of grace. There's a lot to cover, but today Rosemary has a question. She says, please pray for Jack, who does not believe in confession, to a priest. Help me to give him the right answer. Amen. Okay, I'll start off with that. So it's this. Perhaps your friend Jack will start by asking, well, okay, Rosemary, where is confession in the Bible? Often, that's what Protestants will ask. And even sometimes you have Catholics that will ask, well, you know, where is it in the Bible? We do have Bible as well as tradition. Not everything is explicitly found in the Bible. Like the Assumption of Mary, we can find it implicitly, but not explicitly. Now, confession, we do have that in the Bible. And I'll tell you where. It was the Gospel this Sunday, Mercy Sunday. Gospel on Sunday could be divided into two parts. And it's taken from John chapter 20. First part is John 20, 21 to 23. The apostles, they're in the upper room. And Jesus passes through the wall, greets them, says, peace be with you. Then he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain, will be retained. Then the second part of the Gospel for Sunday is the encounter with the doubting Thomas. But what is most pertinent to us in your question, Rosemary, for your friend Jack, is that Jesus, and Carmen has placed it there, it's John chapter 20, verse 21 to 23, is that Jesus there, by greeting the apostles and breathing on them the Holy Spirit. And these words, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive, they will be forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they'll be retained. Jesus has already ordained these apostles at the Last Supper when he says, do this in memory of me. Right now, in that passage, which would be Easter Sunday night, which is the crowning point of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, Easter Sunday night, the Lord is given the apostles to forgive sins. So that passage would be the biblical passage. Now, if you're entering into apologetics with your friend Jack, I think I would say this, and I think we all have to admit, even though some people say, I don't have any sins, that's not true. Jesus came for sinners, and there are only two that live in this world that can say that they're absolutely sinless, and that would be Jesus, the Son of God, and the Immaculate Conception, Mary Most Holy, is the sinless one. But aside from that, we are conceived with original sin. We're born, baptism washes away original sin, but at the same time, even though baptism washes away original sin, still we have what are called the proclivities or the tendencies toward evil. We might call that concupiscence, would be the technical Thomistic word. The technical Thomistic word would be that of of Aquinas, concupiscence, which means a tendency toward evil. Then the third point of my defense using apologetics is that if Jesus instituted a sacrament, and he did institute the sacrament of penance or confession, it means that he wants us to use it. Really what I'm saying is Jesus being God, being teacher, being master, Jesus doesn't make mistakes. So Rosemary says, she said he speaks directly to him during Mass. I was talking to him about the graces of divine mercy. My heart is broken. Well, okay. It's true that during Mass we can, before the penitential rite, I usually spend about 30 seconds so we can examine our conscience. If you have venial sins, then by praying the penitential act, then those sins can be forgiven. When the priest says, "May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life." However, what I've just pointed out, that God chose the apostles, which were men, as the instruments by which sins are to be given. So, Rosemary, the response is that Jesus actually, he chose men, we call them ordained priests, as the Alter Christos, the acts and persona Christi, the bridge by which. And, of course, it's easier just to confess directly to God. The Protestants will do that, the Jehovah Witnesses will do that, but we as Catholics, we go through the instrumentality. I don't know your friend or friends, but sometimes people don't want to go to the priest because they don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be corrected by perhaps something in their behavior that they don't want to give up. So there are tons of reasons why people will avoid confession, but often it is because individuals don't want to leave a certain habit that's not pleasing to God. So, Rosemary, you posed a good question, and you've done your part. You've done your part, and I would say just to pray for your friend. Maybe if he's intellectual or a reader, have him read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and open it up and find the chapter that is on confession, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church will explain in great detail what confession is. And Martha says, and also shameful feelings. Well, that's why you can go behind the screen. You can go anonymously, and there's no reason why you can't do that. But I don't know if I told you, I had an interesting experience. I was on Saturday, right before Divine Mercy Sunday. I spent many hours confessing that day. The evening, I arrived about 3:30, and after about an hour, one of our helpers said, "Father, by the way, you have 44 people on the confessional line. You've got 44 people on the confessional line, Father." So an hour passed, and she came back and said, "By the way, now you've got 66 people on the confessional line." So there are certain places where very few people go to confession, whereas in my experience, I believe this. If the priest believes in confession, and obviously he should, if the priest is a good penitent, that he's experienced the infinite mercy of God himself as a sinner, if the priest preaches confession to the people, preaches it well and what it is and how to do it, if the priest then makes himself available, and then the priest is a good confessor, or there's a harmonious blend between first God's infinite mercy, but also God's justice. We can't simply sweep sin underneath the rug and say it doesn't really matter. We have to have a firm purpose of amendment. And the priest welcomes the people with the door open. Then people come. I had to get up for Mass at 6 o'clock, and I was confessing up until the Mass. There were about 10 people still waiting. So it's a very good problem that here more and more people come. And I try to promote him to be as available as I possibly can. So there's a saying, you can bring the horse to water, but you can't force the horse to drink the water. That's right. You can bring the horse to water, but you can't force the horse to drink the water. So I would say, Rosemary, don't become discouraged, and there will be a time, there will be a place, but you keep praying, and maybe encourage him to read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, or maybe your friend can just have an appointment with the priest. Just talk to the priest, and he can maybe ask the priest some questions. Sometimes people will bring a friend to me, and I'll have a conversation with the person, and then I'll arrive at a point and say, when was your last confession? And by means of that, that will be a bridge by which I'll be able to get them to go to confession. So thank you very much, Rosemary, for your question, and sorry if I've given a too long-winded explanation, but it is a good question, and I think I've given a good apologetical response to that. And one last thing I'd like to say is I always try to utilize both faith that I try to follow faith and reason. Now, what does God say? And using our intellect. Using what God says as well as using our intellect. So what does God say? That's the most important thing. And using our intellect, we all have a mind that we utilize, and we should try to utilize our mind to the very max. But if you're with a person just following emotions and feelings and anger and resentment and just spouting off ideas, you're not going to get anywhere with that person. With that person, I recoil, I back off, and let the person vent, and I go in another direction because so good, Rosemary, you've been following the past couple of years. Well, Rosemary, you have nothing to lose. You could just gently say, you might just talk with a priest, also read the catechism. You might even say, okay, you don't feel that way, but when I go, I feel much better. You might even use a personal testimony. Yes, so I encourage all of you to be apostles of divine mercy also. That's what I've been saying the past couple of days. And divine mercy is very much related, of course, to confession. Very much related to confession. I don't know about you people, but for me, my principal Lenten proposal was to spend as much time in the confessional as possible. That was my Lenten proposal, and it was a pretty good Lent. Over the past 4 weeks, I would I was probably there a good 7 hours a day over the last month, thanks be to God. Mary Jo says, great explanation, trying to get my daughter to go and come back to the church. Our priest Sunday said, if you have mortal sin, you have 1 foot in hell. That's pretty powerful. Wow. Mary Jo, thank you. Your priest there is very strong, but he's telling the truth. I think there was a father church that says, you have the seed of the eternity of hell within your soul if you're in mortal sin. Mary Jo, I call that playing Russian roulette with your salvation. That's why they say, Mary Jo, you're playing Russian roulette with your salvation. Don't do that, because we don't know the day nor the hour. Jesus says it will come like a thief in the night. Come like a thief in the night. So very good Perseverance family. Very, very good conversation we have as always. And I'll pray for you and for all of your intentions. So let's move. Let's move then into the riches of the Word of God. So let me give you an overview. Of course, yesterday, my friends, you know, we celebrated a chief Marian solemnity. Yesterday we celebrated the solemnity of the Annunciation of Mary. And usually that's celebrated on March 25th. However, it was not celebrated on March 25th this year because March 25th actually fell within the context of Holy Week. And when it falls in the context of Holy Week, then it's going to be transferred. So the Annunciation was transferred to April 8th, which was yesterday. And just a word on that, then we'll move into the riches of the Word of God today. Mary, because of her saying yes to God, giving her fiat, in which she consented by saying, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. In that moment when Mary gave her consent, that was the most important moment in the history of salvation. Then Jesus, later on, by dying and rising from the dead, he's going to be completing. There you have the beginning of salvation by Mary's yes. So in that moment when Mary said, gave her fiat, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. In that moment, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate that March 25th, and 9 months later, December 25th, we celebrate, of course, Christmas, the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we want to be eternally grateful. We want to be eternally grateful to God. We want to be eternally grateful to God for Mary and for Mary saying yes to God. So hopefully we will all cultivate a deeper love and devotion to Mary. A deeper love and devotion to Mary, who is truly the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and the mother of each and every one of us. Mary, the mother of God, Mary, the mother of the church, and Mary, the mother of each and every one of us. That's right, Mary, the mother of God, Mary, the mother of the church, and Mary, the mother of each and every one of us. So praise and thanks be to God for Mary's yes. Because Mary's yes resulted in our eternal salvation. Because until Jesus suffered, died, and rose from the dead, the gates of heaven were closed. But by Jesus dying and rising from the dead, the gates of heaven were open, and we can be saved. But it all started, my friends, by Mary's yes, by Mary's consent. So we are eternally grateful to Mary. Mary, thank you. We want to thank Mary for her great love by saying yes. She said yes to Christ, yes to suffering because the sword will pierce her heart, but yes to the salvation of all of humanity. And that includes us. Praise be to God. All right. So, going back to the liturgy and the readings that we have in this Easter season. Right now we're in the Easter season. We celebrated Easter for 8 days from Easter Sunday up until 2 days ago, Divine Mercy Sunday. Yes. But the Easter season actually lasts 50 days. Easter season lasts 50 days up to the celebration of Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the apostles. That's right. So, that being the case, there are special readings that we have. If you are a daily communicant, or if you read the readings for the day, well, we go through them every day in a summary fashion. Last week, the Gospels were all related to the resurrection scenes of Christ. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Jesus appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears to the apostles in the upper room. Jesus appears to the apostles on Lake Galilee. All these different appearances proving to the apostles that he really is alive, and he eats in front of them. Eats fish and bread to prove that he's not simply a ghost. So last week was centered around the resurrection appearances of Christ. And of course, we believe that the first one that Jesus appeared to was his Blessed Mother, even though this is not written in sacred scripture, but we really believe that this is the case, that his mother was the first one that had the privilege of seeing the risen Christ. Thanks be to God. So now for the next, up until Pentecost, the first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. Just that you're aware of it, this is about the third year I'm doing it, is we finished our 10-week spiritual exercises on Easter Sunday in English and the Monday afterward in Spanish. Right away we move into another course. we move into another course. And this course, which will take us all the way through the month of April, and this course is going to be on what we're reading in the Mass for the next 50 days, or up until Pentecost. And it is the Acts of the Apostles. That's right, the Acts of the Apostles. That's what we're reading and we're meditating upon. And my course is very simple. And you're invited to come to it if you like. Last night I had the first course in Spanish, and it's online. If you're bilingual, you can go to YouTube and you can download it and listen to it. I gave about an hour and 10-minute talk setting up the stage. And this course, it's very easy because it's a 4-week course. That's right, it's a four-week course, and there are 28 chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. So, very simply, every day for the next 4 weeks, those who are doing my course on the Acts of the Apostles just have to read and meditate upon a chapter a day from the Acts. And I'm giving some pointers, but it's a book that you can read and understand. This may surprise you, but in preparation for my course, over the past 3 weeks, I've watched a movie on the Acts of the Apostles. And it's put out, I'm pretty sure, by the Protestants, but I think it's the International Bible Commission. And the chief actor's name is Dean Jones. I thought it very well done, put up by Protestant, but I'll tell you the way it's done. It's called The Acts of the Apostles. And Dean Jones is the principal actor. And the way it starts is you have a man on a ship, and the ship is in the midst of a storm, and you have a man that's narrating what happened with the apostles after Jesus left them. And the actor is Dean Jones, and the actor is St. Luke, and he's recounting everything that happens. And it's done verbatim, which they take a verse at a time in which it's said, and then St. Luke narrates, and then they present a scene where you see, for example, Jesus ascending into heaven. You see the apostles in the cenacle for Pentecost and fire descending upon, and then the wind. You see Peter and John going to the temple and looking at the paralytic and saying, "Silver and gold we have none, but the name of Jesus, get up and walk." So it's presented in a very graphic way, but also they're reading every word, it's verbatim, every word of the 28 chapters. I feel that I got a lot out of it. It's more than 3 hours. I watch it. I'm watching it a second time because I think it's so well done. So that's what we will be reading and meditating upon all the way up until Pentecost. So we've already arrived at the fourth chapter of the Acts. And what we have is, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to see the early Christian Catholic Church. The early Christian Catholic Church. So they're going to be presenting what was the primitive, primordial, initial Catholic Church? What was it like? So the reading today says the community, that would be the church, ecclesiae would be the word in Latin. Community of believers was of one heart and one mind. Was of one heart and one mind. So what we have here, my friends, is we have unity. I was reflecting upon this sometime today, and not to be cynical or skeptical, but I don't think we've ever lived in a world where there's so much disunity as there is today, and I think we just have to be honest. There's just so much disunity, but the Holy Spirit wants to unite. So this is already after Pentecost. Pentecost, you find in chapter 1, you find the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Chapter 2, you see Pentecost. Chapter 3, you have Peter and John working the miracle with the paralytic, who gets up and he's jumping and leaping and praising God. Jumping and leaping and praising God. Remember, the Charismatics put together a song on that back in the 70s. Jumping and leaping and praising God. And now we're in the fourth chapter. It says that the believers was of one heart and one mind. They were united. So in unity there is strength. In unity there is strength. And what the devil, the word devil, diablos, means division or divider. The devil wants to divide, whereas the Holy Spirit wants to unite us. Look at the apostles before Pentecost. They're at the Last Supper. They're vying to see who is the most important. The mother of James and John wanted James and John to have privileged places in heaven. The other apostles get angry at them because of their own jealousy and envy. So before the coming of the Holy Spirit, we just see a lot of human foibles or a lot of human weakness or limitations. We see that. But once we have Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the apostles, there's just a radical change. They have great light. They have great conviction. They're united. They're working for a single purpose, to preach Christ, to have Christ known and loved, to have people baptized, and to become part of the mystical body of Christ. They had to have this Pentecost experience. So we also are in a time in which we're preparing for Pentecost, and it will arrive quickly. Time goes by quickly. Lent is already over. The Easter week is over. Time goes by quickly. So there's really no time to waste. Let's try to be generous with God and not to procrastinate, not to put off for tomorrow what we should be doing today. And it says that no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. So what we see in the early church by that verse, it's a verse that speaks out against the danger of materialism. The danger of materialism, allowing yourselves to be possessed by your own possessions, allowing yourself to be blinded by having things. So material things actually become your end-all and your possession. So we can allow ourselves, allow our possessions to possess us. And Eric Fromm says, if you are what you have and you lose what you have, then who are you? Do you like that one? That's Eric Fromm. If you are what you have and you lose what you have, then who are you? And John Paul II says it's much more important being than having, and doing flows from our being. JP2. So this first community can teach us a lot of lessons. It says, with great power the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great favor was accorded them all. So here you have these men that had no really formal education. St. Paul is a different case. But they had no formal education. There they are, they're getting up and they're preaching boldly the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And great favor is shown to them. Just that you're aware of where we're at in the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, we see huge numbers have come to believe in Christ. Chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, after the coming of the Holy Spirit upon that early community, then Peter gets up. Peter will be the primacy of Peter. He'll be the first pope. Peter gets up and he preaches his Pentecost sermon. A powerful Pentecost sermon. And as a result of this, the people say, What are we to do, brothers? And Peter says, repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be baptized. Repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus and be baptized. It says 3,000 people were baptized as a result of the Pentecost experience and Peter's preaching, and the people opened themselves up to God. Then the chapter right after that, before this chapter today, Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John who meet the paralytic, and Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold we have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. So this man gets up and he walks. He's jumping and leaping and praising God. He's jumping and leaping and praising God. So as a result of that, another 2,000 were added to their number. So off the bat, here we have, off the bat, we have 3,000 because of the Pentecost experience and the preaching of St. Peter. And then we have another Then we have another We have another 2,000 that are added. So we got 5,000 5,000 followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So exponentially, it's exploding the number of followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Exponentially, it's just exploding the numbers. So my friends, there we have an explanation of the Acts of the Apostles, and today also in the first reading we will encounter a heartwarming, endearing person who will become one of the key members of the early Christian church. Today we meet the person of Barnabas in chapter 4, who was a rich man. And he sold a piece of his property, and he came and he placed the proceeds at the feet of the apostles, and they would distribute the money to the poor people. And by the way, the name Barnabas, who would be a traveling companion of St. Paul, who was related to St. Mark, Barnabas, his name actually means son of consolation. So it's a beautiful short passage today in Acts chapter 4. And now we're reading in the Gospel of John chapter 3, which would be the encounter between Jesus and Fulton Sheen calls him the night man. Jesus and Nicodemus. Maybe you saw the episode in The Chosen between Jesus and Nicodemus, the night man. So we're going to be going through the Acts of the Apostles, and this week, John chapter 3, the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. So my friends, we've had a very good conversation today. Thanks be to God. And hopefully we will be like Barnabas. We'll be sons and daughters of consolation. We who have received the consolation of God, we're called to give the consolation of God to the world at large. So my friends, it's been a very good conversation. It's always good to be with all of you. And we're forming a really good online family. And as always, I'd like to invite all of you, my friends, like all of you, my friends, to share our message, share our message to the whole world. Jesus says, go out to all the world, teach them what I taught them, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, behold, I'll be with you always until the end of time. So thank you very much, my friends, and I will give you my priestly blessing, and then I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same channel. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.